Do you ever notice how often we repeat the same vacuous phrases or questions to each other? I occasionally catch myself in conference calls noting the number of times someone says, you know, or in terms of. But the one that always gets a grimace, the one that's really starting to grate, is that bovine question, are you busy? Most people are going on summer holidays, and yet I've been asked if I'm busy 3 times already this week, and it's not a compliment. Try getting into a lift with a colleague and asking them how things are going. Busy is more often than not the instinctive response. Busy? Bloomin' right we are. We've crammed our lives not into hours or days, but into minutes and seconds. We resent waiting in a queue or when someone doesn't get to the point in a meeting. We resent the interminable delay when we're told to reboot the computer or when the online banking app goes on the blink. And we guard our time jealously. I lose count of the number of times people ask slyly if I've got just a couple of minutes. And then there's the email hydra that never tires, the never-ending home admin, the pressures from children, from spouses, and of course, the endless expectation of others to do just that little bit more. And that's all before we even get to church commitments. Busy? Oh, yes. We're in Luke chapter 10 and looking at verses 38 to 42, which, as exceptionally busy people, is a reassuringly short passage for a Tuesday lunchtime. I want us to see 2 points from today's passage and then ask ourselves some questions. The 2 points are the problem in busyness and, secondly, the priority in busyness. This passage in Luke is at the start of a new series. It's also in the middle of a broader section that we've been looking at on and off for the past few months. We are in the middle of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, where he will be tried and killed. And we see here, believers and skeptics alike, what his mission is, what Jesus' mission is, and what is involved in following him. And in doing that, we will be challenged on our preconceptions and our priorities. Mark Crossley preached a couple of months ago on the passage just before this section, the passage of the parable of the Samaritan. And we learned in it that eternal life comes not from being religious, but through having a changed heart. A changed heart that leads to a changed relationship with those around us and with God. As we come to my first point, the problem in busyness, let's read that passage again and see how Jesus shows us how easily we can get our hearts wrong. So if you've closed your Bibles, we're on page 1042 and verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Don't we associate ourselves a little bit with this picture? We can just see Jesus arriving in the village with his disciples and being welcomed into the home of Martha and Mary. We know from John chapter 11 that the family are friends of Jesus rather than being complete strangers. Let's picture it. How fantastic, what a privilege it is to have Jesus and his disciples arrive and choose your home to spend an evening. But how stressful can it get? You can almost see the stress cogs whirring in Martha's mind. Great that Jesus is here, but it might have helped if someone had given me a heads up. I mean, there's nothing in the cupboard other than tinned fruit. Tesco's already shut, and there's all that ironing still in the front room. And where am I going to find the plates and the cutlery? I mean, for goodness sakes, if only I'd had some advance warning. And top it all, look at Mary, how sweet, without a care in the world, staring dreamily into space while I'm left with Ramsay's kitchen nightmare on my hands, and there is absolutely nothing that's going to get through that thick skull of hers. She should jolly well get off her backside and help. Why is it always me that's left to do the work? Why is it always me? And as Mary continues to sit, Martha continues to seethe. Are we surprised that Martha boils over? Wouldn't we? What's the problem? Verse 40 shows us one simple word. Martha is distracted. Oh boy, she is. And now she's proper annoyed. And not just at Mary, but also at Jesus. See the tension and frustration fizzing in verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha is so distracted, so preoccupied, so focused on the crushing number of things to do that she doesn't know where to put herself. Her heart is stuffed full of lists and things she mustn't forget. She ends up so stressed by the tasks at hand that she fails to see the most important things slipping away. The first casualty is her relationship with her sister. See how evident her anger is with Mary in verse 40. My sister has left me to do the work by myself. And it's not even said sotto voce. You can always hear that slightly narked, high tensile voice center stage in front of the disciples and in front of her sister. Don't we see similar symptoms occasionally in us and those around us? How easy it is to take the stress out on those closest to us, those we care about most. But there's more than one casualty here. Look what Martha says. Lord, don't you care? Is Martha appealing to the one who came to serve others, or is she somehow blaming him? Either way, I guess the question expects Jesus to discreetly nudge Mary into gear and pass the crisps, and I guess that is also what we expect. But Jesus doesn't give the response we expect. Verse 41, Martha, Martha. I dare say words not necessarily of rebuke, said in anger or in urgent warning, but softly and with compassion. Something has gone wrong, not just in Martha's relationship with her sister, but also with the Lord. The Christian life is marked by joyfulness, but Martha is about as far away as you can get from being joyful. Goodness help anybody who pipes up at that moment to ask, is supper any time soon? Joyfulness has been replaced with anxiety. Anxiety has been replaced with impatience. Impatience replaced with irritability. Irritability ground down into resentment. What is the problem in busyness? It is that the urgent has distracted and outweighed the important. It is that our relationship with Christ and each other are the first to suffer. Have we got to that stage in our busyness? Those little thoughts, this is ridiculous. How much does God think I can take? Or, look at them all. I'm slaving away and no one else seems to pull their weight. Martha. Martha, the repetition of her name speaks of intense emotion. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We come to the second of my 2 points, the priority in busyness. I don't think that Martha was doing anything specifically wrong by being busy. Jesus just says that Mary has chosen what is better. Martha had been so distracted with her work that her relationship with Jesus and those closest to her had become almost deprioritized. Isn't that so often the case, that the urgent distracts from the important? How often I find I don't invest in relationships at work because of my inbox or my calendar. How often do I head off promptly after my Bible study because I know I have a busy day? How often my quiet time is short and snappy because I've woken up late and have to start early? How often do those closest to me get whatever is left over when my energies have been spent elsewhere? I think it's worth being clear what I'm not concluding. I am not saying that busyness itself is the problem. Sure, the dinner for Jesus and the disciples still needed to be made. The food needed passing around, and I dare say, short of a miracle, there'd have been a bucket load of washing up. Jesus doesn't criticize Martha for being busy or suggest that it doesn't need to be done. He doesn't suggest that busyness is wrong. He criticizes her for being distracted. She has lost sight of the most important thing. Let's see how Martha contrasts with Mary. See how Mary is described in verse 39. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Mary, in a position of humility, recognizing what was more important than anything else, listening to Jesus. If we're honest, isn't that one of the hardest challenges for us also in this super busy world? So many voices clamoring to be heard, the diktats of our boss, our colleagues, our children, our spouse or partner. It would be easy for us to conclude that we are like Martha, we really should be like Mary, that we should come to church more regularly to listen to sermons and get more serious about our quiet times. These are indeed action points that could and perhaps should be taken from the passage. But as with all my action plans, there is a risk that they turn into symptoms of religion than symptoms of relationship. I would suggest from the context of this passage, we can see a little bit further, because Luke has positioned this section here for a particular reason, interwoven as it is between the parable of the Samaritan and the Lord's Prayer, which we will see next week. When we looked at the parable of the Samaritan back in May, we saw the answer to the lawyer's question in verse 25, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and with your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The answer to the lawyer's question in verse 25 is not to do things. It's not to be religious or to become Mr. or Miss Perfect. It's instead found in a relationship, an outworked relationship with God and his people. Can I emphasize again, especially if we're here looking into the Christian faith, we don't need to become all religious to become a Christian. Jesus came for the irreligious, the outsider, for those who know at their heart they are in need of him. They are not perfect. He is not silent either. He speaks to each of us in the Bible, here and even today. We become Christians not by becoming holier than thou, but by listening to Jesus through his word and receiving him, asking him to come into our lives as our Lord and as our Lord and as our friend. It is the most extraordinary gift that cannot possibly be earned, and it cannot be taken away when received. Jesus reassures us of that at the end of our passage in verse 42. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We run a course called Christianity Explored a few times a year that helps people to understand more about what Jesus has to say and what it means to receive him. Please do talk to me or someone else on the staff team if you'd like to know more. Next week we will see what a relationship with the Lord looks like. Dependency, trust in him for everything. We will glimpse his extraordinary generosity towards us in that relationship as we depend on him. But here, linking these passages is not just Martha and Mary, but us and our prioritizing of our relationship with Jesus and each other through the busyness of our lives. Jesus doesn't tell Martha to examine her work-life balance or to go on a spiritual retreat. Jesus' gentle words of rebuke to Martha are gentle words of rebuke to us. words that remind us of what is of first importance. Our strength and our anchor won't be found in our jobs, but in our relationship with Jesus and listening to him above all the noise and anxieties of this world. So as we go back to our offices and homes, perhaps we should take a moment to reflect how much of our time and energy really is invested in our relationship with Jesus and with each other. How much have we also become distracted? Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, please spare us from the hypocrisy of a faith with no action, and please spare us from the distraction of activity that never stops to listen to our Lord and Saviour. Amen.